the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now this is a wonderful story. It's a historical story. I believe this happened exactly as it's written. But there's also, I believe, some spiritual lessons we need to learn from here. There's always a reason why God includes anything in the Bible. And I believe that this can teach us some, give us some good understanding. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I wish people would see the simplicity of this and understand it the way they should. But I want to point out some things about this. This is, first of all, I said they came to Jericho. Of course, we all know the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. They sang songs about it and hymns about it and things like that. And Jericho had been destroyed and then later rebuilt. And we know the story of Rahab the harlot and how she received the spies that were sent out by the children of Israel in peace and made a deal to spare herself and her house because she believed that the Lord was the true God in heaven and earth. And so Joshua honored that deal. And that Rahab is actually in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, the human lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of an amazing thing when you look at that lineage all the way down through the Bible, down from all the way from Adam down to the Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. But he's there and he's leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. And there's a fellow on the street, and he's called, and the Bible calls him blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And it's kind of amazing that this man's actual name is not recorded. The word Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. You remember where Jesus asked the disciples, he says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they say, "Well, some say you're Moses, some say you're Elijah, or one of the prophets." Then he asked them, he said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter blurted out, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." In other words, Simon, son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So when we look at this man here, his name is, he's called Bartimaeus. He's just called the son of Timaeus. What his actual name was, and that's all they called him. There's that blind man, he's the son of Timaeus. And he probably had another proper name. But we don't know necessarily what it was. He was just called Bartimaeus. You ever felt nameless like that? You ever felt where just nobody cared about who you were? And that's where he was. He's poor. Everybody knows his daddy's name, but they don't really say much about him. That's old Timaeus' boy out there begging on the street. They don't really know him much as a person. They don't pay much attention. So he's poor, he's begging, obviously, he's not rolling in dough. And I know there are some people that beg and they're really not poor or anything. Some people just beg because that's what they want to do. Some people beg because they're drug addicted and liquor addicted or whatever the case may be. You know, and it's kind of an amazing thing. It's a sad thing, really, when you look at that. And there are professional panhandlers. And I say professional because that's what they've chosen to do for a living. That's how they make their living. And I'll be honest with you, some of them do good. But the simple fact is that here's a man, and probably a lot like we do, we get very cynical. You ever get cynical when you see somebody sitting on the highway begging constantly? And we got them all the time, don't we? All right, and some of them are legit and some of them are not, but we tend to get cynical about them, and maybe that's the way it was. There's a whole crowd of people, they're all focused on Jesus, and they're just walking past him. But he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He's blind, he can't see him, but he hears it. And when he hears it, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now Jesus has a throng of people around him, his disciples around him, and all of a sudden here off on this blind man hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth, and he calls him, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he calls him the son of David, and everybody tells him to be quiet. Now, if you read through the New Testament and read through the Gospels, you will find out that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, what we call the triumphant entry, and what the Roman Catholicism has made their Palm Sunday, where Jesus walked in and they threw the palm branches out in front of him, and so they call it Palm Sunday when they would call that made his entry into Jerusalem before he was crucified. And the people were all saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest." They were saying that word, Hosanna, means save us. Save us, we pray. All right? And so they're praying, but they called him the son of David. And the Pharisees came up to him and said, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Or, "Rabbi, rebuke thy disciples." And Jesus said, "I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And so maybe these people were the same way. Maybe they're like, "Whoa, don't call him the Messiah," because the Son of David meant the Messiah. The Messiah, the Jewish people knew him as the Son of David, the great king, the son of the great king. And they didn't want that title given to Jesus. And so they opposed him. And so maybe these people are that way. But when he was crying, "Jesus, thou son of David," he was literally calling Jesus the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ. And they didn't want him to hear that. They told him to be quiet. And he just got louder. You know, sometimes you may be seeking the Lord and it may feel like it just there's an opposition or whatever the case may be, and that's not the time to be quiet. That's the time to get louder. That's the time to seek harder. That's the time to, you know, old time they used to call it praying through, seeking the Lord until you got clarity, got what you needed to understand, you learned, you read your Bible, and you prayed, and you studied, and you worked on this problem until you understood what God's will was about a certain thing. And we don't hear a lot about that nowadays. Now we want everything instant, don't we? Want everything fixed, and if we don't get what we want real quick, we go look somewhere else. And you know, the only reason to look somewhere else is when you think that one that you're seeking or asking has failed. That's where a lot of people fail with God. They quit on God because they don't get what they want right away. They don't get the understanding they want this instant. And so they quit. Or they get opposition and they quit. But he didn't quit, did he? So we learn something from that. And I love the next verse. He said they charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he says, and Jesus stood still. And I like that. When he called, Jesus stood still. But before we get into that, as wonderful as that is, before we get into that, I want you to start with when he started calling on the Lord Jesus. He called on him, and the first thing he sought was mercy. And you know, that is a lesson that we need to learn, not only in order to be saved, all right? Many, many, many people pray to God all the time. And the Bible says, whoso turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination, in the Proverbs. When you just don't want to hear anything that God has to say, but everybody wants to pray to God for this or that or whatever the case may be. And so many people, there are many religious people that will end up in hell. Why? Because they don't see themselves as needing mercy. You remember when Jesus talked about the two men went up in the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican? And the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, Lord, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners and unjust, or even as this publican here. Right? He said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And he said, the publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that that publican went down to his house justified and not the other one. He spake that parable to those who thought within themselves that they were righteous. Because, and the one thing about it is, Bartimaeus, this fairly nameless person, understood one thing. He understood he needed mercy. He needed God's mercy. And you know, you won't get saved until you realize you need God's mercy. But then, even after you're saved, we have to understand that the first thing we need from God is His mercy. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews to let us come boldly, what? To the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. To find mercy. Even as a Christian, there are times when we need God's mercy. We look at we talk about the great revivals of old and the time where churches were growing and people getting saved and lives being changed. And it was a bunch of people that understood they needed the mercy of God. Because they themselves were guilty before God and they needed God's mercy. And that's the first thing he cried out for, was mercy. You know, the Bible tells us as Christians, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's mercy. That's what we need. We can't have a revival if we're just going to hold on to our sin. If we're going to pretend it's really not that bad. If we're going to look at the Bible says one thing and we're doing another, and we don't have, and we're just going about our way pretending that it's not really a big deal. Isn't it amazing how easy it is to see other people's sins and not our own? When somebody does you wrong, you don't have any trouble calling it out, do you? But we've got to learn to see these things, and when we see these things in ourselves, we ought to desire God's mercy. And so, here he is, he's calling out for Jesus, and he's asking for God's mercy. And everybody says they charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. As soon as Jesus heard that cry for mercy, he stood still, didn't he? And what does the Bible say in Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, we see that God, that picture of God's mercy. We see Isaiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We see so many passages of Scripture where God tells us to come to Him. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, right? For I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, you'll find rest to your souls. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. He gives us those calls, and he tells us that when we call, he'll answer. But people calling upon the Lord for mercy, that's always the starting place. That's one of the reasons why the old-time preachers used to say things like, you need to keep short accounts with God. In other words, you don't allow sin to fester. When you become aware of it, you go to the Lord and you confess it, and with the heart's desire to forsake it, and allow God to work in your life. That's what we ought to do. We've lost that, it seems like. We've lost the understanding that the one thing we need from God is mercy. And yes, when you get saved, when you're truly born again, you're saved eternally. Yes, all your sins are forgiven. Yes, but we're talking about the mercy to go on and continue to live right. The mercy to continue to change, to continue to grow. The restoration of the fellowship that you and I need. To where God doesn't become just something we talk about or someone we talk about, but he becomes a genuine person in our lives. We like to sing the songs, don't we? He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Is that really true? Is it? I mean, that's something you got to answer, isn't it? Or do we just sing the songs and go through the motions? Or do we have a real relationship with God? That's something we need to understand. And any real relationship with God is going to start with God's mercy. The fact that we can come to God, we don't live in a glorified body yet. We have the redemption we have of our soul. We have the Spirit to indwell us. But this body, our redemption is not complete. The redemption of our body is not fully done. So we have a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Right? And we know that the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So we understand that the weakness there and the battle that goes on. So it's a very real thing that we need God's mercy, not just for the forgiveness of sins so we can go to heaven, but as a practical matter in our life. And he called for mercy, and Jesus stood still, and he called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And this is something to me that I don't know if you see this, but this is something that always kind of amazes me. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, this is an amazing thing when we see this, because you're talking about a poor man. You're talking about a man who literally lives hand to mouth. You're talking about a blind man. And he probably doesn't have much more than the clothes on his back. And he's got a garment. And what he does is, he casts it away. He gets up, throws his garment down, his cloak or whatever it was. He casts it away. And he comes to Jesus. Now think about that. Why did he throw it away? Why did he throw his garment away? What would be the point of that? And I believe the point is very simple. He simply had an expectation that Jesus was going to give him something better. Why did he need that old garment? You know, I think that is the thing that hinders so many people. We have a life that we live all this time, and things that have gone on in our life, and the problem is, when we come to Christ, instead of putting those things aside and letting Christ be our expectation, we want to hold on to the past. We want to hold on to the hurts. We want to hold on to the pain. We want to hold on to the family name. We want to hold on to relationships. We want to hold on to all types of things. But there comes a time when you will have to choose. There is always a choice to be made. When I got saved, I didn't expect to have to give up all my friends, but I did. I had to make a choice between them or Jesus. I had to make a choice between my Navy buddies and whether I was going to keep going out and carousing with them or I was going to go to church. I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice with my family. I mean, we can talk about different things, and you know, I know most people in my family weren't too happy when I became a Christian, and I stopped doing a lot of the things we did. I stopped the drug use. I stopped the drinking. I stopped all the things that I was doing, and all the things that we did that we grew up doing, and there were things I couldn't do. Sister Denise said the same thing. Her family, when she got saved, her family didn't like it. They sure enough didn't like me. They liked me better when I was a foul-mouthed cussing person. And so we kind of lost some of those relationships, not because we cut them off, but because they cut us off. But over time, God worked, didn't He? God worked, and we got some of them back. They got saved. partly through our testimony, and praise the Lord for that. So we look at those type of things, and there's always a decision to be made. But so, one of the things that hinders people when they want to come to Christ is because rather than simply putting their focus on Christ the way they should and saying that He is my expectation, they try to hold on to everything, even the bad things, even the things they ought to let go of. And it cost them. And the truth is, this world doesn't have any good thing to offer. You know, I lived for 23 years before I got saved. And I saw a lot of wickedness, and I did a lot of wickedness. And there was some good in my life. Don't get me wrong. There were some good things in my life. But did you know even those good things, the things that were truly good, they were the mercy of God. They were the things that came from God. The Bible says every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. If it's a good gift, it come from God, even when I wouldn't even acknowledge it. So, but when we understand that everything good in our life, it can only come from God. So why would we want to hold on to all of that? And so many people, I talk to people in the jail all the time. Well, preacher, my friends, you mean the ones that helped you get where you are today? Preacher, my gang, you mean the ones that helped you get here? Preacher, my family, preacher, my wife, preacher, my, you know, go down the list. I know, I've been there, I understand. But, you know, I understand the ties, but at some point you got to make a choice. You got to throw something away. And you've got to come with Christ with an expectation that things will be better. You know, Jesus said there's no man that comes after him that forsakes houses or lands or family or friends or whatever it may be. You know, father, mother, wife, husband, wife, son or daughter, whatever it may be, he forsakes them for the gospel's sake. For that, he said that they shall receive an hundredfold in this present world and in the world to come life everlasting. You know, it's an amazing thing. I've had the privilege to, you know, in my Navy career, I've had the privilege to go all kind of places. I've been to the Virgin Islands. I've been to Cuba. I've been to Jamaica. I've been to Israel. I've been to England. I've been to Norway. I've been to Spain. I've been to Portugal. I've been to Sicily. I've been to Italy. I've been to France. And you know, every place that I have been as a Christian, you know what I have found? I have found brothers and sisters in the Lord who opened their door to me for no other reason than I name the name of Christ. And I did 3 med cruises, several Caribbean cruises, and not the Caribbean cruises like you see on the TV. I'm talking about on a Navy ship. I did a North Atlantic cruise. All of these things that I did in the time when I was in the Navy, I saw a lot of places. And you know, the amazing thing was after I got saved, while all my buddies were running out and all the people, my shipmates, many of them were running out, and they were going on tours, and some of them went on tours, and some of them went out and got drunk, and some of them got rolled and mugged, or whatever you want to call it. Some of them ruined their marriages and with prostitutes, and I mean, going down the line, you could just talk about it. Some of them ruined their Navy careers by going out and getting trouble with the law and getting trouble in the town and stuff like that. You know, we used to sit there and you know, invariably you'd come in and you'd find some sailor sitting there and laying by the toilet, and or somebody in there puking their guts out, and we used to laugh and say they were praying to the porcelain god, and all types of things like that, and go in there, and then they'd be without money, and they'd be begging for money, and they'd be coming around asking if they could borrow money and everything like that, and because they'd just blown all their money. And while they were doing that, I was going to people's houses, eating home cooked meals, sleeping in a bed, laughing, enjoying myself, meeting new people. We'd go out and we'd do ministry things. We'd do all types of things and get back. And I couldn't spend any money. And we'd have fellowship and we'd do things and get tours. And they'd take us all over and show us around. And no other reason than just naming the name of Christ. You know, I found out that what God has to offer is always better. Amen. What I get from God is always better. It's always eternal, and it's always better. And I mean, I could go on at length and talk about this type of thing. But so many times, people never experience that because they won't let go of what they had before. It's no wonder the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. No wonder he said that. And so he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And finally, as we go to close this, I want you to look at this tonight. I want you to see this. And he said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now that's a reasonable request for somebody that's blind. I want to be able to see, that I can receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Now I want you to see something here, that he asked God to do something for him. He came first for God's mercy. And now he's asked God to do something for him, and God has done something for him, something amazing. He now can see. He received his sight. Now he does no longer has to go and beg by the road. He can go get a job. And Jesus has already given him permission, said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Your choice. It's your choice. You go your way. And guess what? He figured out that his way was going to be God's way. He said he followed Jesus in the way. Jesus said, go your way. Here you go. You got it. Your sight's restored. Go. Go your way. He said, okay. And he fell in right behind Jesus and followed him. He didn't hold on to the past. He didn't even hold on to his family. He didn't run home to his family and say, Mama, Daddy, look, hey! He didn't do that. He said, I'm going where he's going. You give him my choice, this is where I'm going. I'm following you. Sometimes that's what happens. God doesn't force us to follow. But we ought to have sense enough to follow. I just want you to think about that. Are you following the Lord the way you should? And it's not really difficult to follow. mean, just walk in the same steps that Jesus walked. You know, he prayed. He fasted. He sought to do his Father's will. That's all we really need to do. Seek to do our Father's will. Fellowship with God the way we're supposed to. Love our brothers and sisters like Jesus told us to. Love a lost and dying world. Say ye not that there are 3 months or 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes into the fields, for they're white already unto harvest. Care about the souls of men. It's not really difficult, is it? So many people, you get that option to go your own way. That's exactly what people do, my way. Don't care about God's way, just my way. This is what I like. This is what I want. This fellow, we don't even know his full name. We don't even know his what we would call his front name or his Christian name or whatever that people like to call it. We don't know it. We just know he was the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. They'd taken off, left off using his actual name. It could have been Joshua, it could have been Israel, it could have been Hezekiah, it could have been Hananiah, it could have been any name, any Hebrew name that you could possibly think of. It could have been David, for that matter. But they didn't know his name anymore. It's just son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. Jesus knew his name. Amen. Jesus knows your name too. Amen. It's an amazing thing when you look at the Bible. When you look at the Bible and see how it is, and you look at this man, he had nothing but what he cast away. So, well, he didn't have to give up very much. Well, no, he didn't have to give up much because he didn't have much. But he still gave up all that he had, didn't he? Remember when Jesus, when the people were, all the rich people were casting their gifts into the treasury at the temple, and there a widow came up with 2 mites and she cast them in, and Jesus said she gave more than all of them. Why? Because she gave of her. She gave everything she had. They gave of their excess. They gave of what they had. They had plenty to give. But she gave everything she had. And she said she put in more than all of them. So we look at Bartimaeus and we might say, well, he just, all he had was a dirty garment. Well, I mean, who wouldn't give that up? Well, that's all you have. The question is, do you believe what Jesus has for you is better than what you left behind? And it is. So many people don't see it, do they? Something to think about. Let's go to the Lord and go to prayer, and then we'll close. Father, thank you for the Word of God that we just seen tonight, and I just pray that you would bless with understanding and help us to see what we need to see. Father, you know every heart here. You know every failure. You know every fear. You know every triumph. You know and victory. Lord, you know all things, and you know, Father, what we need. You know if there's something we need to leave behind and let go of. You know, Father, if there's an area where we need your mercy tonight. And Lord, just help us to desire it above all. Help us to simply continue to seek you as we ought to follow you. And Lord, help us to look forward for what you have in store for each one of us. We pray And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.